Five, four, three, two, one. I'm John Miglosh for the WDMA, Direct Marketing Association. And we're going to talk about that today, direct marketing. Okay, but first we're going to listen to Andrew Ettinger, which I think he's got some great words to share. Here we go.
Hard to invest. Like, if you have a 3.7 Google rating when people go to your company, there's nothing that any of us can do for you, you know, because nobody wants to buy from a 3.7 star company. Put some work into it. Get back to people. Hire somebody or respond to anybody's complaints. Make it good. I know there are businesses out there that strive on 3.7 star reviews, but in my mind, I would never do business with them. You know, I want somebody that I know is going to be around in 5 to 10 years. I know they're going to be able to hit my warranty, hit my guarantee. And I know that if just really, if something just fucking breaks, that they're going to come over to my house and they're going to fix it. You know, no questions asked.
Okay, so that's the way Andrew feels about Google rating. I wanted to get to one of the comments, which I thought was especially good. Reply to your reviews, ask existing clients for reviews, ask partners for reviews. Nobody's perfect, but you can change that rating. There's no shame in asking clients for an honest review. It'll make a difference. Plus, it makes you feel good when you read about the great work you've done. That's what Andrew writes about that post. There he is. But I especially like this one. Say it loud, Jason Bertok. It's hard for me to read with these glasses. Say it loud for the people in the back. Review rating is life. It's often indicative. This is the part I like. It's often indicative of the systems in place or lack thereof. In other words, if you're not regularly reviewing your reviews, I've seen companies with all great reviews, and then someone writes a lengthy one. Like I was working with a client that does big docks for your boat docks on big lakes in the South. And somebody begged him to do a dock that was 2 hours away. And he told him, we're going to have trouble getting there. We're going to have trouble being there as much as you'd like. The customer begged and begged and begged. And, the guys, I don't know when they leave. Let's say they leave at 7, so they get there at 9. Normally, they'd quit at 3 or something. But it's 2 hours back. So 4 hours of driving, they don't want to spend all day there and then drive home and get home at 8 o'clock at night. These are employees. They're not the owner of the company. And then he writes a big complaint about how they didn't stay long enough. Well, you know, the answer to that is tell the story. Tell the story. This guy was 2 hours away and, you know, reply, right? But also always get reviews. Now, do I have reviews on Google? No, probably not. I have them on LinkedIn. So if you want to read some nice things people said about me, often nicer than I deserve, go down to my LinkedIn and read my reviews or write one if you've had some good experience or you like the show. There is a survey I put up the other day, and I got 10 whole responses to the survey, which is pretty much indicative of what I feel about this, that, you know, not very many people watch, and as good as it is. So let's go on with this. Okay, Mark Ritson, he's a guy that everybody watches, and I think rightly so. And he said, most marketers aren't trained in marketing. And I think that is staggeringly true. If you look at the graph below, I'm just going to start with that graph. We'll go to the graph. Let's go down to the graph. It's a wonderful graph. Here's the UK, and I'll have to make this bigger so I can read it. 23.9 trained in marketing, 76.1 untrained. Now look at, it isn't that much different. It's a little, you know, Ireland has the best. 61% aren't trained, so by far above the majority. You know, if you won an election 61-39, you'd be in the clouds. You'd be so happy, right? And the U.S. is only 73%, right? It's only 400 people, so let's get on to digits here. Somebody should be trained in statistical significance of digits. Yet. Okay, right. No. Okay, that's fine. Whatever. It's probably some automated program. Okay, so let's just say that you had lawyers. So Three out of four aren't, and which is why we have rafts of self-rationalizing BS about learning on the job, watching Gary V on YouTube, and that marketing is art, not science, and common sense. Good luck with that. So Mark pitches his mini MBA. 95% of the attendees say they are immediately a better marketer. I think that's probably true. And if nothing else, you'll have more reference points to put in your PowerPoint presentations. You know, you can quote somebody, Bassin, what's his name, besides Trout and Reese from 40 years ago, which is who I quote anyway, or Claude Hopkins in scientific marketing. So we'll talk about that in a second. So he says it's as good as even the best business school, okay, and that companies say their marketing has been transformed. Fewer than one in four, and Dr. Grace Kite, who I also enjoy her articles, says fewer than one in four marketers have any formal training. Can you imagine if only one in four lawyers had training in the law? You know, that got me thinking, yeah, that would be serious, you know. But I called up my attorney when I had to do my parents' estate. My dad's had never been closed out, and my mom died without bothering to do any of it. And so we couldn't ask her, and she would have been very helpful to have around if she would have bothered. But anyway, you know, God bless her. So I called my attorney and I said, how hard is this? He said, it's not hard. It's, you know, like six forms. You can do it. So I set off on this adventure and found out that his trust was being paid by the land contract for the condo in Florida and the owner in Ohio. So the owner had attorneys in Ohio. We had the title of the property was in the wrong name in Florida, and I'm in Wisconsin. So we had three sets of attorneys involved. So it wasn't simple. We had to retitle several pieces of property. And when I finished, I asked the probate judge, you know, how did I do? Because I had to come and present all this stuff. She said, A+. She said, I wish more lawyers did as well. Okay. So, you know, it's not insurmountable. A lot of law is not insurmountable. It's just, you know, getting a little help maybe, doing a little research. So this is a great example. You can... You know, Abraham Lincoln was self-taught in law, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but he takes the Louisiana bar exam. Catch me if you can. There you go. The brain's in there. It's in there. It's just sleepy, and he passes it with no law school. My brother passed the certified engineering exam, almost passed first try. He passed two of the three sections. He did take a refresher course, but he hadn't taken engineering in college. And so he became a certified professional engineer without an engineering degree. So it's possible to learn some of these things without the normal course of events. And so I wrote to Mark, and I said, because Mark said, we keep talking about training marketers to speak in the language of finance. Best to start with teaching them to speak marketing. Yeah, well, that's a start, but somebody's going to have to get the budget. And Dr. Grace chimes in. You can do so many things with marketing data and convince the CFO, but it's just that few people know how to do it. Ryan writes back, do you have any metrics beyond the anecdotes? And Mark admits that much of the training for marketing is underwhelming. You know, I got a certification in direct marketing with Bob Stone and Martin Baer at UMKC. I was the valedictorian. I presented the highest rated session in the course. But we had a raft of marketing professors come in and present. And it somewhat tarnished my high rating because they were awful. They had no idea what they were talking about. One of them even said, I haven't talked on this in 20 years, but Martin asked me to come and present. And part of the reason that they were included was because UMKC required a certain number of their professors to be involved in order to give a certification out. This is political, pure political, and they were, I would rate them as incompetent. Okay, so, and I'm not saying that was a long time ago, you know, 1990, right, long time ago. But the guys that Bob Stone brought in, including myself, were top notch. He had people that were top advertising agency people and top people around the country, and they flew in because Bob's a buddy, and absolutely top notch. So it isn't black and white, and training isn't black and white. And so I wrote to Mark here. Here's me. And I said, Mark, while I appreciate the need for your mini MBA, not many years ago, I presented Why Mail to 50 or so post-MBA grads. 3 hours of questions followed. We had an hour after the session. And then we went to a bar nearby and we went 2 more hours talking about what direct marketing meant and why mail was the best research tool in the world. Okay. And I would stand by that today. I know more about it now than I did then. This was only 4 or 5 years ago. So one of the young men came up to me and he said, in all our training, not only wasn't there one course, we never even had one lecture on mail. Okay. Now, my experience in the marketing community, much less the financial community, is that most marketers do not want accountability. Most of my clients never wanted to understand how the statistical modeling worked, right? I talked with one of the head guys at UCLA, because one of my clients suggested I read his book, which I couldn't make much sense of. He had great stories in the introduction, and I could grasp that. But anyway, we talked for about an hour, because one of my clients had said I violate every rule of statistical analysis that they learned in school. Okay? And so I asked him about that after an hour, and he said, John, you don't violate statistics. You elevate. You require that not only do the numbers have to be right according to the formulas, but you also expect the results to make sense. So you have higher standards. And he said, the way we teach statistics sucks every ounce of insight and creativity out of the students. That's what he told me. Ed Lemmer, Dr. Ed. Okay? So, you know, I guess I have a bone to pick. Does your mini marketing MBA include anything on direct marketing, Mark? And if not, it's a shame. Go back and read Scientific Advertising by Claude Hopkins. Scientificadvertising.com. It's like $5. It's 100 pages. It's a classic. Everyone should read it. And now let's get over to Bob Bly just for a second. I gave him a little bit of a hard time yesterday. I read his email newsletter pretty much every day. But a lot of it is buy my book or sign up for this course. And he promotes a lot of other things, which is great. I mean, he can do however he wants. But I wrote to him because it was going to be secrets for sales success or something like that. And his secret was buy my book. And I said, I was actually expecting some secrets. So today he wrote 5 things which boost sales fast. He says having a kick butt offer, and he gave some ideas on this. Can be concise. People would rather read short letter than a long one. Doesn't always work. I've had longer letters win, but I've also had shorter letters win, especially if they wander around and they don't have any point, right? Which is the next one. Be clear. If you can write a clear 2-page letter, you know, long ago, Ford found a 4-page survey for their new buyers got better response than a 1-page. Don't know why. Sometimes people want to wade into the details, you know, and you think about the old, well-tested Reader's Digest mailers where, you know, you had to take the stamp off and put it here, and there was all kinds of involvement. Those did best. Okay, so we're disconnected again. We'll just continue on. It always disconnects for like 1 second. Okay, be direct. Readers who struggle to figure out the sales letter will leave the page before long, right? Be specific. Explain exactly what you're selling and what it can do for them. Be simple. Take pains to explain your product and your offer in terms the reader will be sure to understand. Okay, so I wrote him back, and he writes right back. So, I mean, his email, I think, or his website is right there down at the bottom, and you can talk to Bob anytime you want. Good for him. You know, he does what Ann Rettinger says you should do. Get back to people. Okay, so his offer here is $20 off the regular price until Saturday at midnight, March 23rd. So, okay, is $20, you know, is it a $300 book? In which case, $20 isn't much. Is it a $100 book? Is it a $20 book and you get a free book? I doubt it. But anyway, I don't understand what the $20 is in relation to. Always helpful. Not clear to me. Okay, testimonials. What good is this book? Yeah, I'm going to write, you're going to send me a 117-page book of letters you've written. Do they have any valid test results? You know, do your clients rave about them? I don't know. Why should I click this link? And so far I haven't. So anyway, people who buy my book have increased their business and 100-fold. That's what we do here at WDMA. I can give you testimonials. We can take companies from 5 million to 50 million and 50 million to 100 million. We raise valuation. That's what we do here. Have a great day. Like and share. This could go away very shortly, but I hope you enjoy it while you can. And you'll never have to run out of material. I have 2,000 videos or something over on YouTube. So like, repost, tell your friends if you want me to keep doing this. Bye-bye.